The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Thank you for listening to Balanced Black Girl Podcast. My name is Les. I am your host, and I appreciate you tapping in. So every week on Balanced Black Girl, I'm bringing you conversations, diving into the various things that we are balancing in life. And a big theme that we have had for 2024, both in this podcast and for me personally, has been the successful era. So figuring out what do we need to do to step into our most powerful and successful selves. And today's episode really speaks to the inner work of stepping into a successful era. Just a little reminder, if you have not done so already, please make sure that you are subscribed to Balanced Black Girl wherever you like to tune in. So on Apple Podcasts, you can press the little plus button. That's how you follow, or you can follow along on Spotify, or you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. So today's episode is a must listen for anyone navigating their successful era, because I am joined by the amazing Sarah Jakes Roberts. Sarah is an author, a speaker, a pastor, a philanthropist, and she is the founder of Women Evolve. Through her work, Sarah speaks so much power and encouragement that we all need as we're navigating our successful eras. And I'm so excited to be able to sit down with her for this episode as we discuss her latest book, Power Moves, which is available now and linked in the show notes. But if you are somebody who needs a little bit of help stepping into your power, moving through fear, releasing shame, giving yourself the permission to show up authentically to be your most powerful and successful self, then you will love this episode. So let's get into our conversation with Sarah. Sarah, welcome to Balanced Black Girl. I am so excited to have you here, and also very excited to say happy Pub Day, because the day this episode is coming out, your new book Power Moves is out. So congratulations.
Thank you. I'm so excited that it's finally going to be in people's hands.
Absolutely. Well, I am ready to dig into all things book chat with you today. First, I would love to talk about the inspiration behind the book Power Moves and this theme of power and where that came from.
Okay, so I personally love the title and I am the author, so that's definitely a little jaded. But I think most people, when they hear power moves, that they think about what they can do in order to accomplish something that resembles success. But I really wanted to have a different perspective on what it means to make a power move. And that is before you actually do the move that is going to be considered powerful, is really taking an inward journey to let power move within you so that you can qualify what a power move looks like outside of you. And by that, I mean going through this process of like reclaiming and defining for ourselves what it means to be powerful in a world that is often projecting labels and expectations onto us. The act of reclaiming our power can really be an act of defiance that is really liberating. It liberates our authenticity, and then it helps us to better qualify what type of choices do I want to make. The power moves that are made out of fear, out of shame, out of trying to prove people wrong or right about us, often leave us still feeling unfulfilled. But I really wanted us to have a fulfilling power move. And so this book is exciting for me because it's such a reflection of my own journey.
That is such a beautiful reframe, because I think sometimes when we hear the word power, it can have this connotation to it of having power over something outside of ourselves, or wanting to dominate or assert or, you know, have a certain image of us be out into the world. But I love what you described about having it start on the inside first and letting that kind of permeate around us. It's just a really beautiful reframe.
Thank you. You know, I really started thinking about power differently because I'm a preacher. And when I preach, people would always say like, oh my gosh, that was so powerful. or they would say, you're a powerhouse. And I didn't really feel like a powerhouse. Like I'm very much so like, all right, God, here we go. And let's see what happens. And then I would watch these clips of me preaching and I'm like beating my chest and jumping up and down. And I was like, whoever that is, I want to see her in everything I do. I want to be her when I wake up in the morning. I want to wake up in the morning beating my chest. And I was like, God, what's the disconnect? What do I need to do here? How do I marry the two? And God really began to reveal to me that I had many expressions of power. And in that moment, that was an authentic expression of power. But that expression of power is not the same type of power that I need to exercise in order to raise my children, in order to be in deep intimacy and connection with my husband. And so the fluidity of power is what was revealed to me when I started pursuing what does power mean in the context of why people are applauding me. And what I learned is the most powerful aspect of who I am is not really even who people see. It's how I engage with my children. It's how I listen intently. It has less to do with my speaking and more to do with my being. And I wanted people to have permission to really move in the fluidity of power and not see power as a destination.
I loved what you just said about your power being in who you are in the day to day, because I think that takes the performative aspect out of it that I think a lot of us can get into, whether we have, you know, more public facing roles like you and I, or even just as everyday people, sometimes even on social media, where it feels like we're putting stuff out there in a way that's performative. But it's like, who is that core of who we are? How do we interact with people and move through our day to day and finding the power in that?
That's so good. You know what's funny? I learned because I wasn't like building a brand, I wasn't building a platform. I was just kind of responding to what was happening, that some of my posts that get the most engagement, like I'll be honest, like sometimes it is when I'm like full glammed, 40-inch bust down, and the girl's like, oh my gosh, she's eating. But what will get just as many numbers is like a throwback picture of me as a 14-year-old holding my son, or a picture of me with no makeup on and my bonnet on. Because at the end of the day, we get to offer people a well-rounded perspective of who we are, or we get to offer them one version of who we are. And that's not just on social media. I think it's in our friendship dynamics and everything. Often we hear about the strong friend or the one who's there for everyone. And that is the expression that we allow people to see the most. But so many strong friends also have a responsibility to make sure that they're presenting their vulnerability, that they're presenting their areas of growth and development, so that the people that they are in connection with have capacity for all of who they are. And I found out that most of the times we're living in these cells that we created for ourselves. And so I am prayerful that as people dive into this book or even listen to this conversation, that they would begin to interrogate the walls that surround them and begin to ask themselves, do I really have to stay stuck in this? Or can my words, can my choices, can me being more authentic remove some of the pressure connected to these walls and roles?
I'm feeling very seen and very connected to that example that you just gave of the strong friend, because that is something that I identify with heavily. And recently it has come to my attention that I can't always be that person. And it's something that I'm like examining in my own life. And so what you just described about the cells that we create and how our actions contribute to that image people have of us, just, it was like, ooh, that was for me.
I feel like we kind of have a one-sided conversation when we talk about like the superwoman myth or even being the strong friend. And we make it, you know, like the strong friend needs support to check in on your strong friend. And I think that that's true. I do think though, and I will own this for myself, like when it comes to like, I'm not superwoman, I wish people knew I wasn't superwoman, like that is true. But also, I like when people think I'm superwoman. Like, I like this idea of I did something superhuman that no one else could do, that like my day would wear the average person out. Like, there is some pride connected to being the strong friend, being superwoman, that we have to be willing to acknowledge if we're going to tear it down. Because it is hard to deconstruct something that you take pride in. Like, I like being there for everybody. I like knowing that they can count on me. I don't like as much letting people know that I need to count on them. I don't enjoy that as much, letting people know that I am actually in need. And so I do think that there is this pride connected to it that I hope that we'll begin to unravel so that we can really determine, am I locked in this cell because I kind of like it too? And am I willing to pay the price of humility that comes with freedom?
Ooh, that is so good and so hard when we have to have those honest conversations with ourselves of, okay, how am I also contributing to this position that I'm in that may not be serving me anymore? When you have those
I like the way you slowed down when you said it.
Because I'm talking to myself. I'm like adding myself so hard. When you have those moments where you're like, okay, I need to also have an honest conversation about, you know, me being Superwoman and where some of that comes from, how do you handle those conversations? How do you start to dismantle that within yourself?
I'm usually on the edge of burnout before I'm like, you probably need to check your intentions. It's about intentions for me. So there are some mornings where my life is very busy. So the only way that I can work out is if I get up at like 4:15 in the morning. And when I wake up at 4:15 to work out, I will be honest, I feel better than most people. Because I'm like, most people are not getting up to, you must be, there's something about you that's just cut different. Like I feed myself off of the type of content that we see viral. The only person that you need to be better than is the person you were yesterday. And you know what I mean? I laugh in the face of pain. Like I feed myself off of that until I'm sick. There's no nutritional value in it because at the end of the day, in those moments where I do need a break because I've been feeding myself, go get it, you're cut different, you're different than somebody else, I don't give myself permission to see power in resting. Most of the time, the signs come in the way that my most personal relationships are affected. I find one of my telltale signs that I have been showing up in that space for too long is when I start to get angry that people expect something from me that I set as an expectation that they could expect from me. It could be as little as my daughter being like, Mom, can you make me tea tonight? I make her tea every single night. But when she asks me for it and it irritates me, I realize that like I'm down to nothing where I can't even live up to the very standard that I set. And so when I begin to see that, I begin to readjust people's expectations. Like, I really do want to make you tea, but can you ask your sister? I may not be able to do it tonight. And that requires a level of humility for me to say, I can't. And that's not always easy at all. I want my husband to think that I can do all of the things, but having the humility to say, I'm tired, like I think I'm depressed, I think I'm burned out. I felt myself going crazy when I was writing Power Moves, so much so that I just like turned the book over to my editor. I was like, I don't trust myself with this book anymore because I was tearing it apart and I was tired and I was planning this huge event and I just couldn't trust myself anymore and I needed that break. And so getting back to a space of trusting ourselves so that we can live within our integrity requires us readjusting people's expectations and releasing our pride.
I'm just going to sit with what you just said for a second. Let's talk about skin and the importance of collagen when it comes to having healthy skin. Collagen is important for your skin because it gives natural support and firmness to your face. But did you know that after the age of 21, you start losing 1% of your collagen every year? Don't panic, you can support your body's natural collagen production by taking BioSil. BioSil is a premium product that helps you generate your own collagen and helps you to protect the collagen you already have. BioSil is backed by over 30 years of science and is clinically proven to work for healthier hair, skin, and nails. It's actually been shown to increase skin elasticity by 89% and decrease the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles by 30%. Now, if you have a hard time taking pills like I do, no need to fear. BioSil is really easy to take. The liquid capsules are super small, and you just take one capsule in the morning and one before bed. Super easy to incorporate into your routine. It's also vegan and doesn't contain any collagen from animals, though if you are currently taking a collagen supplement, which I still do from time to time, BioSil works great as an addition to pair with your existing collagen intake, and it's also safe for those who are pregnant or breastfeeding. Get 30% off your first order on BioSil's website with the code BALANCEDLESS. Again, that's code BALANCEDLESS for 30% off your first product order or subscription exclusively on BioSil.beauty. That's BIOSIL.beauty. One more time, that's code BALANCEDLESS for 30% off your first order at BioSil.beauty. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. These days, we're all looking at the ingredient lists and labels of our personal care products a little bit closer to understand what we're putting on our hair and skin. But what about period care? Period care is so intimate, and all period products are not created equal. Having organic, high-quality period care is so important for your health because you don't want to have any weird ingredients going down there. That's why I keep my bathroom stocked with Cora, a period care brand that I feel good about using. I personally use Cora's pads and tampons, and they are fantastic. The first few days of my period, I actually prefer using pads because I find that it's a little bit easier when I'm cramping. And then when I'm ready to be more active again, I switch to tampons. Cora's pads are made with a soft and breathable 100% organic cotton top sheet, and there's no chlorine, fragrances, or dyes. I also haven't had any issues with leaks or feeling uncomfortable while using them. I also love that with every purchase, Cora provides period products and body education to those who need it, which is so important. I feel good about choosing Cora, and I know you will too. Pick up Cora pads and tampons at your local Target or CVS, or even better, you can do what I do and order them online so they get delivered to you and you never run out. You can get 20% off all Cora product at cora.life/balancedless and use my promo code balancedless. This is an amazing deal. Don't wait. Get 20% off today at cora.life/balancedless with promo code balancedless.
The Run for Revogue is where you'll meet all the most exciting people in fashion and culture.
I am Fran Lebowitz, who should be the mayor of New York.
We all support that.
We support that.
Very nice.
Nikki.
Yes.
It's been really great being in this beautiful pink room.
All right, Usher, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
All right.
Can you hear me?
We can.
We can.
All right, here we are.
On the podcast, you'll learn how Vogue really works.
Sometimes we'll come in for a second or even third run through until we are AWOK.
Can you tell us what AWOK means?
It means AWOK, Anna Wintour OK.
I'm Cho Minardi.
And I'm Chloe Mel.
And we're the hosts of The Run Through with Vogue, where fashion and culture collide.
Join us. It's AWOK.
Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
When you have those moments where you feel yourself approaching burnout, are there any practices that particularly help you feel restored again?
I can always tell. This is so raggedy. I can always tell when I want to go to McDonald's, like I'm in a bad space. When I am like, as soon as I drop these kids off, I'm about to closet eat McDonald's in the car. Like, I can tell I'm not in a good space because in the best version of myself, I want to say it's not good for you. It's trash. It's drunk. It's all of the things. But when I am willing to compromise my views and my values, I know I'm in a bad space. And the only thing that makes me feel empowered again is when I release myself from this idea of you have to, you have to, you have to. Like, nobody's going to die if you don't take that meeting. Like, if the content doesn't drop on the day that you planned, it's going to be okay. And so allowing myself to have a little bit more space in my schedule when I can is really helpful. The kids won't die if their dad picks them up from school. My kids are obsessed with me. They like to be in the car with me, but sometimes I can't do it. And so really qualifying, what do I have to do? what is life or death, and giving myself permission to breathe is really the only thing that does it for me. Because I mean, not I can't just get on a plane and disappear out of my life, but I can adjust my life to a certain extent to where I'm only doing what I have to do.
Definitely. Allowing space for flexibility. And I think sometimes flexibility can be so hard because we feel like things have to be a certain way, or if we committed, like we can't move it, we can't, you know, let go of things or loosen up a little bit. How do you embrace flexibility, especially as we're coming into our power?
That's the whole point of it. Can't be powerful and stuck at the same time. And you can be powerful at pretending, but you'll be miserable on the inside. I do believe that we have a lot more flexibility than we are willing to give ourselves credit for. If you are like me and you're raised in a family that values work ethic and loyalty and commitment and you be a woman of your word and all of those things, it can be hard for you to not to uncommit to something that you committed to. But part of that is flexibility too. Like I have to be able to say who I was when I said yes is not who I am now. And it'll be like, I don't want to say no to things that when I say aren't going to kill anybody, like I can't go to dinner, I can't come to the birthday party. And to be able to express like, I love you so much, but I'm tired. I love you so much, but I feel like I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. I'm going through a depression. Like there is something about allowing yourself to be fully seen so that you don't feel like the flaky friend. And I think that's the part that we miss is all we think about is like how I'm going to disappoint the other person or how they may see me if I don't show up in this way. But to be able to give them context for the decision helps us to communicate that better in a way that allows us to maintain that relationship, which is part of the thing that I really wanted to underscore in the book, because we do see a lot of sound bites where people are just kind of like, if they can't get with the program, cut them loose. Well, I'm married. I love my husband. I have 6 children. I want to be in a relationship with them. I got parents. I got siblings. I have childhood best friends. I don't want everything to be like, if you don't get it, get lost. Let me help you get it. Let me help you understand where I am, that I have been going through and I haven't told anyone. And right now I just don't have the energy to do it. That level of humility and vulnerability offered to someone who was meant to be in your world is not something that is going to be met with resistance. It's not something that's going to be met with anger. And I think we really do have to give people more credit than we do and to give ourselves more space than we do so that we can experience the flexibility that is a part of the human existence. You're not 100% all of the time. So don't let me believe that you are. I love you. I want to see you when you're sad. I want to see you when you're happy. I want to show you that I can love you in the same way that you love me. So give me that chance.
Yes. And being able to communicate where we're at and our needs in that way does like inform others of how they can show up for us and vice versa. It's also so much easier for us to show up for those we love if we know what's going on or if we know where they're at.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I don't want to be needy. I don't want people worried about me. I don't. But like maybe somebody does need to worry about you. Maybe we do need to check in on you so we can make sure that even in a depression that you know that we're willing to hold space for you. Like maybe we need to know that you are not Superwoman and it's okay for people to worry about you. You're worth being worried over. You're worth being loved in that way. And I don't know that we've always, I love that I started writing this book around the same time as like I'm entering into my soft girl era was happening. Cause just moments ago, like we were talking about being powerful and taking over boardrooms and having seats at the table and women can do anything men can do. And I don't think one cancels the other one out. I think they have to live together. I can be in my soft girl era and I can run this business better than any other man. Like I think these two truths can live in the same place, but we have to insist that they do.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes they're just, it takes a little bit of a dance to allow those things to coexist, to kind of know when to step in and when to lean back. And it's constant fluidity.
For sure. And, you know, I'm still learning it, but I think you have to be willing to have your toes stepped on and to step on some toes to get it right. And I hope that that's a starting point that many of us are going or will be willing to take. You may not say everything the right way. You may miss the moment sometimes. You may have to apologize and re-engage, but it's worth it to finally get the rhythm right.
Most definitely. We, a few minutes ago, touched a little bit on being stuck when we were talking more about kind of being rigid and learning how to lean into flexibility. But I would love to go back and talk a little bit more about seasons of stuck and just those times. I think we've all experienced it where we just feel blocked or we feel like we're trying to move through something and we're just coming up against resistance. How have you moved through those seasons and how can we navigate feeling stuck if that's what we're feeling?
Well, I will give you an example. So my father, who is going to be 67 next year, started just saying he needed support in Dallas. Like, I'm getting older. I need some help. Would you all consider coming back to Dallas to help me? My initial answer was no, because like I had my whole life in because that's a full sentence. Yeah. You know, like I've moved to LA. I'm at this point, I've been there 8 years. I am ready to just be an LA girly. My husband's from here. I'm like, I'm gonna be an LA native. I'm gonna just be here for so long that I was from, like, it's so diverse, it's so free, it's not very steeped in church tradition. This church is amazing, it's free. And I was like, no. But then I started feeling stuck when something would happen when I preached in Dallas. Something would happen when my husband and I visited that just felt like there's another aspect of our destiny that's going to be unlocked when we moved here. And we moved here though, but I felt stuck because I wasn't who I was when I left. And I felt like there were people waiting on me to come back because they missed who I was, but I wasn't her anymore. And I wasn't sure that I could be all of who I was in this space either. And I had to really pinpoint, what is it that you are afraid of? Like, why do you feel stuck here? Why do you feel so limited? And I think that that added another layer of healing. And so I think a lot of times when we feel stuck, we can trick ourselves into believing like, I'm going to fake it till I make it, or I need to have a big leap of faith. And that's what's going to break me out of it. I have found that what works for me is really being intentional about figuring out, like, what is making me feel stuck? Like, am I afraid of being myself? Am I afraid that if I am myself, it will not be accepted? Am I afraid that these people will not understand me? Am I afraid that I'm going to sacrifice my family and my marriage? Like, what is it that has allowed me to become frozen? And is it real? Do I have control? Can I prioritize? Can I communicate? And it has empowered me. Now, I went through about 4 to 5 months of wrestling with this stuck feeling, this triggered feeling, this fear feeling. Incidentally, what ended up breaking me out of it was when I was preaching and my wig started falling off, which became like this huge viral moment. Yes. But I was in the tension of that wrestling with, like, can I be myself? I don't know if it's going to work. I should go back to LA when this was happening. And I felt like, as embarrassing as it was, but it was powerful for some people, it was also God showing me, you can be completely 100% who you are, and I'm going to use it. And I'm going to make sure that you, in your rawest form, can still partner with me to do something in the earth without you losing yourself in the process. And that gave me the courage to just introduce drips of myself. Sometimes you got to do a drip campaign where you just start introducing pieces of yourself into the moment and allowing that stuck feeling to start loosening up as you identify what it is you're afraid of.
Most definitely. I mean, I remember that clip, and it felt so powerful because I feel like it gave us all, anybody who was watching it, permission to show up as they were. And I think when we do show up authentically in that way, that's what it does. It just breeds more authenticity amongst ourselves. We are proactive in so many areas of our lives, whether that's with our health or our careers. We set a goal and we go after it. But sometimes with love, we tend to leave things up to chance. And that can leave us having less than desirable results. So if you're ready to get in the driver's seat of your love life and meet new people, it's time to get on Hinge. Hinge is the dating app designed to be deleted. Why? Because Hinge gives you a sense of someone's personality and lets you share your own. You get to know potential dates through their unique answers to prompts, plus you get a sense of someone's dating intentions and what they're looking for. I know so many people who have met their significant others on Hinge, and I find that the most quality dates I've had and most quality people that I've met have also been through Hinge. A common theme I've noticed from my friends who met their significant others on Hinge is they all had an incredibly open mind while they were dating, and that really took the pressure off of any one date or one person they interacted with on the app to be the end-all be-all. They were also incredibly honest on their profiles, and they answered prompts in ways that are unique to them so that the people they matched with got a good feel for who they were. And that's what I love about Hinge. It's so much more than photos and videos. Their thoughtful conversation-starting prompts really let you shine in terms of your personality, and the people that you're matching with can do the same. You can really get a feel for who they are. Hearing positive dating stories is so important and something that I really love to emphasize because positive dating experiences happen every day, and now it's your turn. On Hinge, there are no rules, timers, or games. If you're feeling inspired, give Hinge a try. Download Hinge today and find someone worth deleting the app for. I am always looking for quick, simple ways to improve my health, and one of the simplest ways to support your health is to up your green tea intake. Lipton Green Tea is a proactive wellness hack to support overall health. Just 2 cups a day delivers a quick and simple win on our individual health and wellness journeys thanks to the goodness of flavonoids. Flavonoids are naturally occurring bioactives found in tea, vegetables, and fruit. And just 2 cups of Lipton green tea a day is an easy way to get your flavonoids in and support your overall health. In fact, 2 cups of Lipton green tea can support health by providing approximately the same amount of flavonoids as eating 8 cups of raw kale. Now, I love kale, but at no point am I going to eat 8 cups of it in one sitting. So I love that by having Lipton green tea, I can support the flavonoid intake that I'm getting from food with something that's a little bit easier to do. So I love having a cup of Lipton green tea during my mid-morning work block, and then another cup in the afternoon after lunch. So I'll typically brew both cups in the morning. I'll have the first cup right away while it's hot, and then I'll have the second cup over ice for a little iced tea situation because it's so refreshing in the afternoons. It helps me overcome the afternoon slump and is just such a comforting daily ritual. A lot of green teas can be a bit bitter or taste a little too earthy, if you know what I mean, but Lipton green tea tastes amazing. The signature blend green tea has a hint of jasmine and is so smooth. And my personal favorite is the lemon, peach, and honey ginger green tea. It makes an amazing iced tea and has the perfect hint of fruitiness. Drinking 2 cups of Lipton green tea daily is a great ally for wellness and a simple way to up your everyday wellness habits. Try new Lipton green tea. I especially appreciated what you just said about understanding why we're feeling stuck and what that feeling of stuck is, because sometimes we can feel like something's off, something's, you know, I'm not liking where I'm at. We have a hard time articulating why, and it's hard to move through that or to solve it if we don't know what we're solving for.
That's so good. I really did my best in writing this book to try and make it practical and digestible. And I think one of my favorite analogies in the book, and I hope I feel like I did a good job explaining it, was like, imagine yourself in this parking lot and there's like all of these different empty parking spaces, and you can tell that they're reserved, but you can't exactly tell what they are reserved for. And then as you begin to think about all of these different aspects of your life, like you see one's labeled child, one's labeled friend, and you realize all of these spaces are reserved for different versions of who I am. And as we're going throughout our life, we're moving from like one car to the next, one car to to the next. And when we get in that car, to be able to look at the fuel tank or the power tank, to ask ourselves, how empowered do I feel to show up in this space? I think helps us to understand two things. One, we are often not as powerless as we think we are. You can feel powerful as a friend. Oh, I feel powerful as a daughter. I'm really just suffering when it comes to me feeling powerful as an entrepreneur. And so one, maybe because baby, one thing go wrong, we ready to throw everything away. I am a trash human being. Like nothing I do is right. Like it helps us to see, okay, like maybe I'm being a little bit dramatic, but I'm not feeling empowered in this area. And then why am I not feeling empowered in this area? And is some of it just par for the course? Is it the cost of doing whatever it is you do? Or is there an opportunity for tools, resources, and mentorship to help me receive power in the area where I feel empty? But I do think it's really important that we recognize that like power is fluid, which means that you can feel strong in one space and still have some work to do in the other. And all of that is okay.
Oh, absolutely. I think about that a lot in the context of kind of the backstory of this podcast with Balanced Black Girl. I think a lot of people think of balance as everything in equilibrium, like we just give 100% to everything. And as I was creating it, I was thinking more of, okay, what all are we balancing? If we're in life, we're walking on a balance beam and we start to lose our balance and we stumble a little bit, like what do we do to catch ourselves and land on our feet? And think of balance almost more in that way. And allowing maybe some of our attention is going more towards one area. And sometimes we do need a little bit more support in others, but understanding that and how those pieces work together is, to me, balance and how we make the puzzle pieces fit together.
I think that's the best we can hope for. I think that's and just recognizing that sometimes those puzzle pieces are changing, you know, and the puzzle's bigger than we thought it was. And we figured out one part and it looked like the full picture, but we didn't realize like there's a whole landscape connected to this, and being patient and okay with that.
Yeah. In regards to power, I would also love to talk to you about preparation, because I think for a lot of people, and all of this I can speak from experience, we want to feel so over-prepared before we maybe either step into our light, step into our power, do something new, launch something new. We want to feel like we have spent all of this time preparing and we know every detail and we do it perfect and we know it backwards and forwards. And sometimes that is kind of an excuse that can keep us stuck. Speaking for myself, like going into study mode, going into preparation mode, going into I have to know everything mode. How do you kind of navigate the dance between preparation, but also being willing to step forward?
There's a fine line between preparation and control. And I think recognizing when I have gone from preparation into really what I want to feel is in control of everything. Because I think anyone who understands preparation knows that you're not ever going to be fully prepared for anything, but you can get enough preparation to be able to handle whatever goes wrong. That's the most we can hope for. But when you insist on being fully prepared frontwards and backwards, which I mean, in my messages, like you will never catch me winging it ever. You will never catch me winging it. And one thing I can tell you is if I study something, because a lot of times with my messages, I'll use like an analogy about, it could be chemistry, it could be psychology. Like I did not watch someone's TikTok video and then start my message. Like if I see something, I'm going to study it down. Like I could have so many bootleg degrees from so many different things, because you're not going to catch me out here unprepared. But I also realize there comes a point where I am being so prepared that there's no room for what God's going to do. Like if you watch my messages, like when I first started speaking, I would do my outline for my messages and I would memorize my outline. And so all I'd have to do was connect the dots. And even then people were telling me like, oh my gosh, you have a gift. And that was a beautiful message. But the way that I preach now is a result of me letting go of control, but not letting go of preparation. It's me saying, I'm going to prepare. I'm going to do all that I know to do. But at the end of the day, God, whatever you want to do, I'm rolling with. And that is when I started doing this like beating my chest, jumping up and down. Like there was a power that met me in that space of letting go of control that I did not know awaited me, because as long as I had control, I had no power. But when I let go of control and trusted that no matter where this takes me, I'm going to be okay. I can respond. I can show up no matter where this takes me. That is when people started saying, you're a powerhouse. You preach the roof off of this place. It wasn't that I trained differently. And it's so funny. I remember this so well. The first time that I ever abandoned my notes, I was preaching a message in LA and it was called Unleashed. And I was preaching what I thought was a message for them, but it was the first time that I felt like this growl when I was speaking and this intensity and this passion. But I can remember when I was speaking, being like, forget the notes. Like, I'm just going to trust what's inside of me. I'm going to trust that I'm prepared for this. And every now and then I start feeling that again, the anxiety of not feeling like I prepared enough. Woman Evolve, when we had it in the stadium, was one of those moments where I was like, you are not prepared for this. I've never spoken in front of 40,000 people before. And so the idea of the first time I'm speaking in front of 40,000 people is at an event that I have planned and curated, where I am responsible for these speakers. We got people from all different walks of life, like girls who grew up Kojic, girls who grew up Baptist, girls who ain't never been in the church, girls who only go to the club, but they heard the podcast. Like, I've created a space where all of them are going to come together and I think they're going to be okay. You're crazy. Like, this is never going to work. You're not prepared for this. And I talked myself out of Woman Evolve up until the moment I stepped foot on the platform. And the moment I stepped foot on the platform, I just felt it in my spirit. You're ready for this. You got this. But you don't get to experience the confirmation and affirmation of being ready until you step into it. And so you got to prepare like that moment's waiting for you. You got to prepare like that moment's on the way. And then when it's time for you to step into it, you got to let go and trust that I did not prepare in vain, that it's in me, it's a part of me. And so all I have to do is show up. And from there, like, just be free enough to deliver what I already know is in me.
That is beautiful. Like, what I was thinking as you were describing that experience is that sometimes when we hold on so tight to trying to control exactly the outcome to something or exactly how we present, we don't necessarily allow space for there to be power. And so what you were describing of, yes, have preparation up to a point and be able to let go to give that power some room to be there is just a really beautiful way of looking at it.
Get a taste of M, a hot new collection of craveable intimates from Maidenform, a brand with a whole lot of history. They've been around since the very first bras, and now they're bringing you a new kind of classic, the chicest basics you've ever seen. Now, when we get dressed, we tend to put so much focus on the outer layers of our clothes, but your base layer and undergarments are just as important and can make or break an outfit. Like, let's be real, there's nothing worse than the wrong underwear ruining a good outfit, whether that's with unsightly lines or the wrong bra straps or just being uncomfortable all day. But what I love about pieces from M is how comfortable they are. You really have to feel it to believe it. I love wearing pieces from M by Maidenform because they perfectly complement everything I wear. M is a collection from Maidenform, a brand with 100 years of innovation and category leadership. They really wrote the book on bras, and M is the next juicy chapter. The pieces from M are designed with your comfort and style in mind, using yummy, buttery, soft fabrics that feel way more expensive than they are. So I am always wearing pieces from M in my regular rotation, and I truly can't get enough. The seamless lift bralette is hands down my favorite bra. It is so comfortable, it's smoothing, it's flattering under any outfit, and it doesn't have any underwire poking you. I also love the M Smoothing Seamless Bodysuit. It is the perfect layering piece for spring. I wear it with jeans, I wear it under blazers, and it's so comfortable. So if you're craving comfortable intimates that won't break the bank and elevate your confidence in your cute outfits, you've got to check out M. Visit maidenform.com and use the code BBG20 at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. That's maidenform.com and use the code BBG20 for 20% off your first order. One thing about me is I'm not going to sacrifice comfort, and I think style and comfort can absolutely coexist. Thankfully, Vionic Shoes agrees and delivers both. Being on your feet all day can be exhausting, whether you're running errands, you're chasing after the kids, or getting your steps in all around the city. With Vionic Shoes, you can do it all in style and comfort. So I have been living in the Uptown loafer. It's been my go-to in-between shoe. You know, when you need something dressier than a sneaker, but more comfortable and casual than a heel, it's perfect for that. Now that it's spring, I've been wearing them while I walk all around the city, and they've been so comfortable and supportive while still being super cute. Whatever style you're looking for, Vionic has an option for you. From chic sandals and sneakers to sophisticated flats and boots, Vionic offers a wide range of styles to suit every taste and occasion. Now, as a wide foot girly, I also appreciate that they offer the option for wide widths. So say goodbye to sacrificing style for comfort and hello to shoes that look as good as they feel. If you head to their website, they have so many cute options. As I mentioned, I have and love the Uptown loafer, and I think I need to add the Chardonnay heeled sandal to my collection next because it would pair perfectly with sundresses this summer. Whether you're strolling through the city streets or dancing the night away, Vionic Shoes will keep you feeling fabulous from sunrise to sunset. Plus, with their commitment to quality materials and craftsmanship, you can trust that your Vionic shoes will stand the test of time mile after mile. Use code BALANCEDLESS at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. One time use only. Again, that's BALANCEDLESS at vionicshoes.com. Vionic shoes, wearable well-being for your feet.
You know this, like, as a podcast host, there's just, like, you buy the microphone, you get the software, like, you were prepared. But then there were so many things, like, you just would not have known unless you started it. So, like, you're never going to be fully prepared. You do the best that you can, and you make peace with the reality that I am going to learn on the spot, and it's going to be okay. It's going to be, because my worth and my value is not connected to these results. Those are two separate things. And I think that if you're like me and you've experienced trauma and pain, it's difficult to separate your identity, your worth, and your value from what you're doing. And every now and then I have to reclaim who I am. So like if I get up there and I fall, if I get up there and my wig comes off, if I get up there and I stumble and bumble and something I say, it makes absolutely no sense, I got to be okay. Like, I still got to feel like you're still lovable, you're still worthy, you're human, you make mistakes and you'll get up and you try again. But I can't let that be the end of the world. Even now, as our platform is growing, like nobody holds these types of numbers forever, right? So I can't be like, oh my gosh, if they don't come, then I'm no longer powerful. I'm no longer anointed. I'm no longer effective. There are people much more talented, much more eloquent who have never had the opportunities that I have. So I cannot allow my success as a human to be predicated on the success of numbers and algorithms, or I would have become just a product of the system. Like my worth and my value is not connected to your algorithm. And I got to really own that. And I got to say that with my chest. And I got to reclaim that because I'm in a field where numbers matter. How many likes on the post? How many units? How many listeners? Your worth and your value in certain fields is connected to these numbers, but it's not in real life. Like this can all go away and I will be somewhere at Target telling somebody, how was your day? And I still got to find a way to be okay with that, you know?
Absolutely. I think that's such a good example of what we were talking about at the beginning when you were describing power as something that starts within, because if someone is in that position where they solely define it by the numbers or the algorithms or the outward metrics, that's just so fleeting. That is not a solid foundation at all.
Mm, And it's it's changing right now. Like, if you got to do reels, don't do reels, do pictures. It's about who saves it. It's about the story. Like, the marker is constantly changing. So if you don't reclaim your power, if you don't change your perspective about what brings you worth and value, and you leave it in someone else's hands, like, your worth is going to be the stock market. It's going to be up one day and down another day. And I went through that. And so I took it back, because believing what other people thought about me left me feeling powerless. It left me subject to the power of shame and the power of fear. And I just didn't want to be the sacrifice anymore. I wanted to believe that there was more to me than that, but I couldn't wait for someone else to give me that permission. I had to believe it for myself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what you just said too made me think about the role of things like fear and shame when it comes to blocking us from our power, because I do think that that is often a big hindrance for all of us. We've all felt fear of something. We've all felt shame around something. How do you navigate those feelings as you're also moving into your power?
I honor them. I see them as powerful. In the book, when we talk about power, like, I talk about the power of our trauma, the power of fear, the power of shame, because it can become so normalized that we don't see it as powerful. You know what I mean? So many people have experienced before that we just kind of feel like, oh my gosh, this is just something that people go through. This is just the cross we have to bear. But the reality is that those things are powerful enough to keep you stagnant, to keep you frozen. And so I see them as powerful, but I also believe that doing it anyway is more powerful, that believing differently than what fear wants me to believe will allow me to overpower the thing that's trying to control me. So practically, I will say that if that is a fear, whether it's a fear of shame, a fear of rejection, or just fear in general, to really understand, like, what does fear want me to believe? And will I agree with that? Am I going to come into covenant with my fear? And you will be able to tell that you have come into covenant with your fear when your actions are dictated by that fear, when your words are dictated by that fear. That's how you know that fear has become your God, and that I will only do what fear says I can do. I will only do what shame says I can do. And are you okay with that? Most of us aren't. Most of us aren't. But most of us don't even realize that we have allowed that our fear and our shame to govern our existence. And so to ask ourselves, well, if you aren't okay with that, what is it that you want to believe? What is the opposite that you want to believe? And then what actions, what thoughts, what choices align with that belief? And that is how we begin to live, in my estimation, a life of integrity that says I am aligned with the choices and decisions that are a reflection of my most pure beliefs. And there is nothing more liberating that I have experienced than being able to say I live according to my most pure beliefs. And I say most pure because my beliefs have been polluted. They have been, you know, there's been so much toxicity in my beliefs before. But to get to a place where I can at least identify the most pure belief and to make decisions and choices that align with that is the thing that I feel like I'm most proud of. Like, all of these accolades and achievements, like, they sound good in a bio, but how can you express to someone that the thing that I'm most proud of accomplishing is that I was able to filter through the poison that was in my beliefs to get it to a place where it was pure and to start making choices that aligned with that? And that is how everything else happened. But that right there is the core that allowed me to experience this existence.
That is such a good way to check in with ourselves, because I think sometimes those feelings of fear and shame can be so deeply rooted that we're almost in autopilot with it. And we don't realize how much we've let it dictate, kind of to your point, where we end up. And so I just loved what you said with those check-in questions. Like, I'm going to journal on that and be like, do I like where this belief is getting me? And if not, how do we redirect?
So in the introduction of the book, I talk about, like, most of us, our power was stripped before we even realize that we had it. Because like our first experience with fear or shame generally comes when we're kids. And when we're kids, we learn immediately, okay, if I say this, then that happens. And if I do this, then that happens. And then we begin to create a paradigm that is rooted in this idea of protecting ourselves from further rejection, further fear, further ridicule, further shame. And then we don't realize that as adults, that that's how we function. I am living to avoid. And power is about affecting something strongly. And if you're going to be powerful, you can't live to avoid and live to affect at the same time. So if I'm going to live to affect, it is going to be vulnerable. I am going to be outside of my comfort zone. I may have to apologize and I may say, you owe me an apology. There is a confidence that's going to have to come with that. But I can't just keep living to avoid life. I'm going to have to be fully present in who I am, fully present in my body and my truth, and to allow other people to experience that fullness. And when they experience that fullness, that is where power is. When I talk about in the book, like when you and God say the same thing about who you are, and when everyone else can see that you and God are saying the same thing about who you are, it changes people. It gives people permission to do the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I saw recently somebody had posted this on social media. I will find the post and I'll put it in the show notes so that everybody can check it out. But she was basically saying that her prayer was to be able to see herself the way God sees her. And that is like a constant conversation that she's having. And I thought that was so incredibly beautiful, because I think sometimes we get very caught up in either how other people around us see us or maybe in some of the lies and stories that we've told ourselves, but just removing all of that and coming back to that purest version of ourselves is just such a beautiful reminder.
Oh, that reminds me, I was just sharing this with someone that I think what I am currently embracing on my healing journey and even in my spiritual walk is I got to a place where I was like, I feel like God loves me regardless of what I've gone through, regardless of what I've done. Like, I feel like I can still be in relationship with Jesus. I'm still made in the image of God. Like, this is my truth and I'm grateful for it. And I've been hanging on to that for years. What I am recently coming to a place of embracing is not just that God loves me in spite of those things, but that I am lovable with those things included. And the idea that like, it wasn't like a pity love, that it wasn't like this consolation love, like, yeah, you're raggedy, but I love you anyway. And like, yeah, you're broken, but God loves you anyway. But like, I'm lovable. Like, I'm not just my broken pieces. I did receive God's grace, but God's grace was available to me because I was lovable. Like, and it's okay for me to be lovable. And it feels like I am betraying my shame and betraying my insecurity when I say that. Like, it makes me feel even awkward to say it. But that is something that I am embracing. Like, you're lovable. Like, no, you're not perfect, but you're lovable. Yes, you made mistakes, but you're lovable. And the idea that I can be lovable after wondering if I could be lovable as a result of all of the things that I did, it's helping me to feel safer in relationships, right? Because I think I was afraid that like, oh my gosh, you're going to walk away from me or you'll reject me. But like, what if I'm lovable? And what if that's okay for me to own and not just flirt with? And I feel like that's like what I am learning right now.
I really need to chew on that. That speaks a lot to some things that I have been kind of trying to get my arms around lately and coming to grips with my own like lovableness and things that I'm just healing through. And so I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Yeah.
There's one more thing that I would love to chat with you about before we wrap up today. And that is around purpose and how purpose relates to power. So I think purpose can sometimes feel very elusive to people, like it's this thing outside of ourselves and we are on a quest to find it. And then as soon as we find it, whatever it is, then everything's great. Then we just, everything's perfect because we found this like elusive, mysterious purpose. But you recently said, instead of asking ourselves, how can I find purpose? We should say, where did I lose power? I would love to talk a little bit more about that and why where did I lose power is the better question to ask.
Okay, so this comes back to my fundamental belief as a person of faith that each of us as human beings, exclusively a part of our human experience, have been made in the image of God. And as a result of being made in the image of God, it is not necessarily that we are seeking purpose as much as our very existence itself is purposeful. And if we no longer believe, which we shouldn't and couldn't naturally believe, that we are made in the image of God, then to ask ourselves, when did I lose that aspect of my divinity, that connection with the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God? Like, when did I lose that? Because if I can discover how to reconcile that relationship, I will not seek a sense of belonging from what I do and what I offer to the world. I will recognize that everything I do is an offering to the world. My purpose exists in the grocery store. My purpose exists when I'm walking past a stranger at the airport. I am myself and purposeful because I am connected to the all-powerful, and I bring purpose to everything that I do. And so I'm not looking for the thing that is going to make me say, this is why I was born, because I exist with purpose, in purpose. So where is the power for me to live in that consciousness? And I feel like I came to that place because I was not seeking a platform and I wasn't seeking to build anything. I just wanted to be effective. And I'm like, God, if you're going to give me 45 minutes to speak, I'm going to give this all that I have. And if you're going to give me this child to raise, I'm going to give it all that I have. And there have been moments where I have been preaching, cooking, braiding hair, driving, talking to a stranger, having a podcast, where I feel like I was born for this. I was born for this exact moment, because it's not just about being someone. It's about bringing all of who I am to what I do.
That is so good. Seeing our whole existence as being purposeful instead of just viewing like whatever our job or occupation is as purpose. Because that's just so limiting. That's so small. That's so... like a job, and there are incredible jobs out there. And also what we do, just, it can't explain the totality of who we are by any means. And I think confining our purpose to that, we just do a disservice to ourselves and to the world around us.
I totally agree. Because that's what I think at the end of the day, we're like, what am I supposed to be doing with my time, with my work, with my life? And what you do for a living that makes you feel fulfilled is not necessarily what your purpose is. Like, your purpose is like, why am I breathing? Like, I exist to be a reflection of God on the earth. That is why I exist. It's because some reason God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, you know what? I want the earth to reflect my glory. And so I'm going to create these complicated little beings, and I'm going to trust them to reflect my glory. And if they can reflect my glory in all that they do, that'll be their purpose. Which means that someone could be in purpose literally right now in this moment without a phone call, without a connection, without a degree, without zeros in the bank account. If you can reflect God's glory on the earth and the world, that is reflecting all kinds of things. You know, it's all kinds of glory being reflected in the earth. To say I'm going to be a reflection of love, of light, of joy, of peace, of empathy, I'm going to reflect God's glory. That's purpose for me.
Absolutely. Sarah, thank you so much for joining me today. I loved and got so much out of this conversation. I'm so excited to share it with our community. We will also make sure that we link Power Moves in the show notes so that everybody can get the book, read it, expand upon this conversation that we had today. But thank you again for joining me, for putting this beautiful work out into the world. And I really appreciate you being here today.
Thank you for being such an incredible conversationalist. I really enjoyed your heart, your spirit, the way that you listen and take things in, and being a part of my pub day.
Yes.
It's Power Moves Day.
It is. I'm so, so honored to be able to celebrate this with you. So thank you so much for including us. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and I hope that you enjoyed my conversation with Sarah Jakes Roberts. I hope it left you feeling as uplifted and inspired as I felt chatting with her. So I will be sure to link her new book, Power Moves, in the show notes below so that you can check it out and give it a read. And again, if you have not yet subscribed to Balanced Black Girl, please make sure you do so. You can do it on Apple, you can do it on Spotify, you can do it on YouTube, wherever you like to consume. Just make sure you're subscribed so that you don't miss an episode. Thank you again for tuning in this week, and I'll see you next time.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.